There's a reason you should be watching a podcast. I was definitely correct. Ravens took care of business in a big way against those Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday Night Football. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Big time win. Big time win against those Cincinnati Bengals. You heard it here first. I told you it wasn't going to be much of a game. There's some caveats that we'll get into, but Ravens get the job done. They move to 8-3. Tops in the division. Tops in the AFC. We'll talk all about that big game on Thursday Night Football. We'll look ahead to the pivotal matchup against those Los Angeles Chargers. We'll have Alex Insdorf, who's the Chargers wire writer, and he'll come in and talk all about that big game against the AFC foe. But first, your boy was right. I was not joking around. The Bengals were not up to snuff against the Baltimore Ravens. The matchup didn't justify the hype, I would say. Now, there is some hype. It is a divisional opponent. The Bengals have been to the AFC Championship 2 years running, but the defense wasn't there for the Bengals this year. Hasn't been. And you saw inklings of that in the first meeting between those two teams. I just figured that the Ravens were going to be ready to go. It's a home game. They just lost to the Browns in a 33-31 heartbreaking fashion. So I expected the Ravens to come out, bounce back. The offense would be consistent, and the defense would shut down the Bengals. That's what happened. Now, I got a lot of flack from Bengals fans. I posted a snippet of that podcast last episode showing that I said that the Ravens were going to blow out the Bengals and beat them by at least two touchdowns. And the Ravens win 34-20. They win by two touchdowns. So I don't know what that wasn't much of a hot take. The thing I love about social media is I say one crazy thing every other 6 weeks and I don't hear anything from fans. I don't hear much. But I say something that I believe is true. I mean, I said it with my chest. The Ravens were going to win by two touchdowns and the NFL world went crazy. Even some people within the Ravens fan base were thinking, the Ravens usually play the Bengals pretty close. Bengals fans were not having it. They felt disrespected and I get it to some extent, but pay attention to your team. The Bengals offense has been inconsistent throughout the year. The defense hasn't done anything. And I wasn't really sure what the big hubbub was about. I know it was a big game for the Bengals. They had to win in order to stay relevant in the AFC that is beginning to take shape. You're seeing teams to start to really build themselves and set themselves apart from the rest. But yeah, Bengals weren't really going to come over there and beat the Ravens. There was never a moment that I was nervous. Now, on to the caveat. Of course, Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow did get injured. He's out for the season. Huge ramifications across the division, definitely within the AFC. Joe Burrow wasn't really going to do much, I don't think. He might have scored a touchdown. I think the score might have been the same, really, because the score did turn into 20 points for the Bengals in garbage time. I believe they scored in the last minute and a half of the game. So I think Joe Burrow would have been able to do a little more than Browning did, of course. But the game was all about the Ravens offense versus the Bengals defense, and the Bengals defense wasn't ready. They weren't ready. Maybe next year, guys, but not this year. Sorry, Bengals fans. But yeah, Joe Burrow goes down. Very tough to watch. I think we can all agree that Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. He's good for the league, and we wish him a speedy recovery. And on the Ravens side, Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews gets hurt. I mean, it looks bad on film. A lot of league talk about hip tackling and how it has affected football players, both in collegiate and professional levels of the football world. So Mark Andrews unfortunately got injured. It looked as though he would be out for the season, but John Harbaugh shed some light on it yesterday, Monday, because this is being recorded on a Tuesday, for those of you who like to know those type of things. And he says that there's a chance. There's an outside chance Mark Andrews comes back. And that's huge. Huge. You saw that the offense really had to adjust once Mark Andrews went down in the first half. And, of course, they caught their footing eventually. But, man, Mark Andrews is – most consider him to be a top two tight end in the league. Sometimes I consider him to be number one. Travis Kelce's been a bit banged up as of recent, and he's slowing down a little bit. But I got to give Kelce his flowers. Even as the number two tight end, that's huge, a huge loss for a team who has slowly started to find their identity, but really the offense in the air rallies around Mark Andrews, number 89. So hoping for the best. He has an outside chance. It doesn't mean he's going to make it to the regular season. Maybe if the Ravens make a deep run, he'll return for a Super Bowl appearance in Las Vegas. But definitely a big loss for Mark Andrews, a big loss for the Ravens as a whole. A little more about the game, because I think the defense played extremely well. Remember, there's no Marlon Humphrey. Marcus Williams is still nursing himself back to health and really wasn't 100% throughout most of the season. And definitely in this game, there are things that I saw from Marcus Williams that I really liked. Didn't seem like he was shying away from contact. Definitely diving for those pass breakups. He's really still an integral part. I said that he was a bit of a liability on social media the past couple of weeks, but you could tell he's starting to get his range back. I'm not sure if he changed some equipment to make it easier for him to move around his arms, but he didn't look as stiff out there. He was looking like Scarecrow, like, you know, looking a little stiff out there. And you can't have that. You need a guy with fluid hips and full range of motion to make those tackles, especially against the Bengals team with those big body wide receivers in Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase. But Marlon Humphrey's absence was concerning, considering they had that guy, Jamar Chase. But Brandon Stevens, again, making his presence felt, looking phenomenal. I mean, what a joy the Ravens must be having, especially in the front office, about having a guy like Brandon Stevens come in and really not missing a beat. They held Jamar Chase to two catches. I mean, what a guy. What a great corner that the Ravens have there, and much value considering that they're paying a lot of these guys millions of dollars to perform. But the defense came out and played again. I mean, Joe Burrow didn't look comfortable at all. I mean, he injured his hand on a hit. I mean, you don't want to take a guy out of the game, but those hits, especially late in the season, accumulate. They add up. And the Ravens are doing a great job. I should say Mike McDonald, let's give him his flowers, is doing a great job of putting these guys in position to make plays, scheming out pressure, sometimes phantom pressure, pressure that's not really there, making the quarterback think for two and a half seconds longer than he needs to decipher what type of scheme the Ravens have out there in a given down. So kudos to the defense, playing great football. Moving on to the offense, Lamar Jackson, I think as of today, he's probably number two in the MVP voting, next to Jalen Hurts, after Jalen Hurts defeated the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. But Lamar's right there, neck and neck. He's continuing to perform. This is what we talked about as far back as August. Lamar Jackson finally has weapons. A year ago, 2 years ago, if Mark Andrews went down, the season's basically over. Who's Lamar going to throw to? Who's Lamar going to give the ball to? Not now. Now Lamar has OBJ, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman is starting to show himself. He's popping out on the film, guys. I mean, even the players, you're not seeing him with those catches. He's really being aggressive in the way he runs those routes. He is somebody to watch. Somebody to watch for sure. With the loss of Mark Andrews, you're going to see guys start to step up. Now, we mentioned Keaton Mitchell last week. He wasn't really much of a factor in this game, but just his presence. You saw the Bengals really paying attention to the outside. The defense was really making sure that they had the edge intact, because they knew that Keaton Mitchell can go at any given moment. So his addition with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, the Ravens have a three-headed monster attack now on the running. Well, four-headed monster if you count Lamar Jackson. So nothing but good things to say about the offense. The whole game was just great. It was just a well-fought victory on primetime television. And I told you last week, when you perform on primetime, this is what you get. Now the Ravens are starting to get that mojo from the national media. Now they're starting to see, well, maybe the Ravens are Super Bowl contenders. Where have you been? I mean, I try not to bag on the national media too much, but you heard me here last week. Let's have the conversation. When the Ravens blow out the Bengals, what's the conversation going to be? Are the Ravens to be trusted? I haven't heard the word trust since Thursday. I haven't heard anyone questioning whether or not the Ravens are Super Bowl contenders since the Ravens whooped on those Bengals. And that's all I was trying to say last week. Let's calm down. The Ravens lost to the Browns, yes, by 2 points against the number one defense in the NFL. They put up 31 points on them. Are the Ravens to be trusted? The Ravens were up three touchdowns. Fans are wondering, could the Ravens close out the Bengals? Were you guys concerned then? Where's the attention on the Ravens being able to close out a victory against a top AFC team? That's all I'm wondering. So let's just keep the narrative where it is. The Ravens are a great team. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's the only narrative that needs to be shared at this time. That's the only one I want to hear about because the Ravens have done phenomenal. 8-3, number one team in the AFC. We'll see what happens next week. The AFC is loaded. The Ravens play on Sunday night against those Chargers. The Browns win. The Ravens go from the number one seed down to the 5. So that's loony. That's ludicrous. But so is life in the National Football League. Before we take a break and go on to talk about those Chargers, I want to mention one other huge component that went down this week, and that's dealing with the Browns. Now, the Ravens, all things considered, took out Joe Burrow. He's out for the season. The week prior, they took out Deshaun Watson. He's out for the season. So that's two AFC North quarterbacks that were taken down on the hands of the Baltimore Ravens defense. You don't want to hurt anybody. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying, but that's the type of football the Ravens are playing. Very physical football. And if you're not careful and you're not protecting yourself, you don't have an offensive line to protect your quarterback, these are the type of things that happen. But for the Browns, they needed to make a move. They needed to find a way to stay relevant because they just beat the number one team in the AFC 2 weeks ago. So they're trying to make sure that they don't lose momentum. They had DTR. He was good enough to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, but as I mentioned, they're terrible. So what do the Browns do? They bring in an old faithful. They bring in the guy that the Ravens fans know very well. Some fans love him more than they love Lamar Jackson. That's just facts. I'm not one of them. Obviously, I think Lamar Jackson's the best quarterback in the league, but this guy is a fan favorite, somebody who won the Ravens a championship in 2012, and that's Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, 38 years old, hasn't seen any action this season. The Browns called him in, and now he's in the practice squad. And we all know that's just a formality. Whether or not you want to agree that he's better than who the Browns have on the roster is up to interpretation, but Joe Flacco is probably going to start. And with that defense, he may make the playoffs. And if he makes the playoffs, there's a pretty good chance he plays the Ravens. And that's something that should be very exciting and maybe scary if you think that he's the same Joe that didn't throw an interception and played his way into a championship and MVP in the Super Bowl. So very interesting storylines brewing within the division, the best division in the AFC, best division in the league, really. Also, in other news, the Steelers got rid of Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, much to the delight of Steelers fans. I guess losing to DTR and the Browns will do that to you. Mike Tomlin finally pulled the trigger and got rid of him, so the offense can get going for that Pittsburgh team. That's another team that could make some noise. Obviously, I think Kenny Pickett isn't that much of a quarterback, at least not in this juncture in his career. So how much can an OC change really do for you? But Trubisky, he can throw. He may not be as, you know, to the level of Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or any of that, but with that defense, you don't need to be great. You just got to be serviceable. You just got to be good. So we'll see what happens. The Steelers are still in there. The Bengals, I think, are done. And let's put a nail in that coffin. The Bengals are done. Joe Burrow was the only one keeping them even slightly relevant. Their defense isn't good enough. So the Bengals are out. But the Browns and the Steelers both have very good defenses. They can get a quarterback in there that can manage the game. If they can get an OC that can understand what the teams are trying to do, which is not turn the ball over, keep the ball away from the other team's hands, and let the defense do their thing, Cleveland and Pittsburgh could make their way to the postseason. It should not be out of the realm of your imagination to say that. And once they get in there, it's going to be some fun in the AFC. So that's enough for that. Bengals lose to the Ravens. Not surprised. Argue with your mama about it if you really feel some type of way. I'm just saying that I called it, and you shouldn't be shocked at all. It shouldn't be much of a surprise. Watch the film. Easy to see that the Ravens are a class above those Cincinnati Bengals, at least in 2023. When we return, we'll have Alex Insdorf, who's the writer for the Chargers Wire via USA Today, come and talk to us all about those Los Angeles Chargers and what they'll need to do in order to pick up a win. They just fell last week, and they'll be looking to pick up a win in what has become a very crowded AFC. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As I mentioned, we have with us Alex Insdorf, who's the writer for the Chargers Wire via USA Today. Thank you for joining the podcast, man.
What's up? Yeah, happy to talk Chargers Ravens. Not as happy to talk the Chargers side of that this week, but you know, so hoping for a bounce back win, but we'll see.
Yeah, and the Chargers are actually the team, Ravens fans will say, that really set the blueprint for how to slow down Lamar Jackson. If you recall, in 2018, Lamar was really coming to his own. Everybody thought that this was an opportunity where he could really make some noise and defeated the Chargers, really. And then in 2018, the Chargers had a game plan, had a whole bunch of DBs, and slowed him down. So the Ravens fans remember that the Chargers are not to be taken lightly. I know the Chargers have had a bit of a struggle recently, but trust me, the Ravens fans are definitely not taking you guys lightly, and that is the Ravens front office for that matter. But let's talk about it. The Chargers coming into town, you have Justin Herbert, who's one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League, going up against Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are having to travel to Los Angeles. That's a West Coast trip. I know that you guys have been struggling a little bit on defense, but is there something that you've seen from the Chargers recently that have you believe that they have something planned for pretty much Lamar Jackson and those Ravens?
I mean, look, as long as you have Justin Herbert, you have a chance to win the game, right? And that's been the story of the Chargers season to some extent. They've been in a bunch of these close one-score game losses. I think the Chiefs loss is their only loss by more than one possession. So Justin Herbert is going to give you a chance. But I do have some pretty serious concerns about this defense. You know, you mentioned the 2018 playoff game. That was a bit of a different Chargers defense. You know, we're now sitting here 5 years later. They are 31st. In defensive special teams EPA this week, and they've allowed the most passing yards in the league by 20. You know, so at some point you do have to talk about the defense and Brandon Staley's defense as though it's a problem. And so I think the real issue that I'm seeing is kind of the secondary, and this game kind of goes, I think, as the secondary and the pass rush go, because if this turns into, like, you know, a really big Khalil Mack game, really big game from Tooley. Unfortunately, Joey Bosa is out for this one. So, you know, they lose a little bit in the pass rush there. But the more pass rush they've been able to get, the more they've been able to kind of keep the secondary afloat a little bit. But I say Flowers and Odell Beckham, man, against this secondary, like, it's the least optimal receiver matchup, I think, for the Chargers in that regard. So that's kind of where my head's been at.
Yeah, and I've noticed that Brandon Staley has pretty much been on the hot seat very recently. Mm-hmm. He's having to take a lot of questions regarding his play calling ability. But as you mentioned, that the Ravens do have pass catchers that could give DBs fits, and if you're not really on the up and up on that side of the ball, it could be giving you trouble. But the good thing in the Chargers' way, I guess I should say, is that the Ravens are still a run-first team, and if the Chargers can really stop the run and make the Ravens one-dimensional, there's a chance that the Chargers could make something going, especially with Khalil Mack and that pass rushing ability. It's there. I just think Brandon Staley needs to find a way to shore it up. But let's talk about the Chargers offense, because I do like Justin Herbert. I do think that he has the ability. I think he's taken some heat recently, but I think that has more to do with the overall play of the Chargers team. I think if we look individually at Justin Herbert, we'll see that he's a top 10 quarterback for sure. And if this team was 6-4 or 7-3, he'd probably be in the MVP conversation. What are your thoughts on the way that your offense has played so far, especially very recently?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the offense in general, like, has found the opportunities. They've schemed them open, right? They have six drops against the Packers, right? And, you know, when you have six drops, you're going to lose the game. If Quentin Johnson catches that ball, it's a touchdown and the Chargers probably win. But, you know, there was no better, you know, indication of how the day went for the Chargers against the Packers than Justin Herbert having a 92.7 PFF grade, and the rest of the team, the highest score was a 67 on the offensive side of the ball. And I think, honestly, despite, you know, the score and Justin Herbert's numbers not being as flashy in that game as maybe some of his other performances, That might have been the best game of Justin Herbert's career against the Packers, you know, the way he was playing and just kind of, you know, diagnosing each throw. So in that sense, I do think the Chargers have the ability, you know, as long as he's good, as long as Allen, you know, is kind of back another week from the AC joint sprain, you know, he, I think, you know, should play better than he did. And it'll be at night, so he doesn't have to worry about the sun getting in his eyes and dropping the ball at Lambeau Field. So, you know, I think as long as you have Herbert and Keenan, again, you have a chance. I do think they need at least one other player to kind of step up on offense. Last game, it was Donald Parham, who I think played pretty well. But they have to have either a big Quentin Johnston game. I think they're kind of waiting on him to maybe break out and not, you know, be as kind of a liability with the drops and everything. Or they kind of need Austin Ekeler to return to form too, because I think the story has been the run game for him as well, which has been a struggle for the Chargers. They are kind of one of the worst rushing teams in the league by EPA per play. So I think they want the ball in Herbert's hands, but also I think they're going to need, you know, somebody else other than Keenan Allen to kind of step up and take some of that load off of his shoulders.
Yeah, and you made a great point. It was actually leading up to my next question. The Ravens have struggled against the run the last couple of games. Ford had a good game. Mixon, a team in the Bengals who really struggled rushing the football. They had some success, and our coach John Harbaugh had some questions thrown his way about the legitimacy of the Ravens rushing defense. So there's a chance Austin Ekeler could get going. Do you think there's a chance that the Chargers move in that direction, at least maybe test out to see if the run game is gone before putting the ball in Herbert's hands?
I mean, I think you have to try it, right? Every game, you know, as long as it's a one possession game, you have to try to establish the run. And that, I think, is what Kellen Moore is trying to do. The unfortunate thing is I just think on first down, they're having so many 1 to 2 yard carries, and then that's going to set you up into some second and eight, you know, third and seven long situations. And, you know, that's just not a super sustainable way to like play offense in the NFL, obviously, and asking Herbert to bail you out. I think Ekeler can turn it around, although, you know, we do have a sample size of since he's come back from the injury, he's been one of the less efficient runners in the league, and just he hasn't had that burst. Even the 37 yard run that he sprung against the Packers, right? He looked a little bit like slow, you know, kind of running outside of the tackles. So I've been waiting to see that Ekeler game. I think the way that they try to maybe get him involved is kind of honestly using more of the screen game concepts. You know, they weren't really able to do that against the Packers, and when he did get open, he unfortunately slipped on the Lambeau turf, which was, you know, unfortunate. But I think that's how they have to try to kind of get him open this game, and then if you make the Ravens respect that a little bit, then maybe you can also kind of get the run game going, you know, in line with that. So, but the Ravens also have Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. So that's, you know, a struggle. As much as that, you know, run defense has struggled for them, I do think they are a bit targeted to maybe, you know, give Austin Ekeler some problems too.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but I guess I'll mention it now. Brandon Staley's been on the hot seat. The defense has been playing well. He took over those play calling duties in the effort to bring some fire, I guess, into that unit, but what are your thoughts? Do you think that this might be his last season? There's been rumors going around. He's definitely one of the more prominent head coaches that I've heard about that could possibly be moving from their designated role.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, it for him in terms of like turning it around. They need either a playoff appearance or a playoff win. They've leveraged all of their, you know, future cap into this season too. They did 4 max restructures on Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams, and their cap situation next year, I think they're already starting essentially $20 million over the cap, and they add on the JC Jackson dead cap into that, right? So this was sort of their all-in year, so to speak, in terms of leveraging, you know, one more run around Justin Herbert's, you know, relatively cheap rookie contract before eventually his price picks up in 2025 after that extension he signed. So I think, yeah, this probably is, you know, the last run for Staley in terms of proving himself. But, you know, this Chargers team has gone on a run before. You know, under Staley last year, I think they were 6-6. They finished the year 3-1, getting to the playoffs, right? So everything they have, especially in the AFC as it's currently constructed. You know, there's a bunch of teams in that 5 to 6 win range for the wild card. So I don't think by any means that they're out of it. But I think it's in particular the way that they've lost games on the defensive side of the ball when Herbert has put up these performances that just has people around the league going, you hired a guy to fix the defense and the defense isn't fixed, right? So that I think is, you know, sort of the cross Staley has to bear in terms of trying to figure out the rest of this season.
Yeah, and this is not the matchup where you want to go into that with the defense is not firing all cylinders, because if you're not really on your P's and Q's as far as containing Lamar Jackson, it could be a tough day. So let's get your predictions. I mean, we've kind of alluded to the deficiencies on your defense for now, but maybe that's a chance the Chargers get this job done. Maybe not. I want to hear your thoughts.
I was on a Lions podcast 2 weeks ago, and I picked the Lions to win that one. I don't know. I think this is a game where they can keep it, again, within one score because they have Justin Herbert and the ability there to stay in the game. But to me, the Ravens have played like one of the better offensive lines in the league, despite you know, some of the injuries and some of the guys have that have been coming in and out of that lineup. And I think if they're able to protect Lamar Jackson generally well, and Khalil Mack and Tui are probably the real pass rushing threats you have to deal with, as long as they're able to do that, I don't trust this secondary right now to hold up against Zay and Odell, even with Andrews out for this one. It's just kind of a tough ask because it's exactly the type of wide receiver archetype that they struggle with. This happened with Amon-Ra St. Brown a couple of weeks ago, you know, a guy that can kind of play that slot and outside role, give you yak opportunities. It happened with Jaden Reed of the Packers last week. So I do think generally this is a matchup that doesn't favor them. I could see this kind of being a shootout game for both of these teams. I think Herbert will give it everything he's got, and I think, you know, they probably regress to the mean a little bit and not have 6 drops this game. I'll say 33-30 Ravens for the time being.
All right, so you're thinking a shootout. Okay, that'd be fun on Sunday Night Football for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate you coming on to the show. Let the folks at home know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me every week on the Chargers Wire, writing articles every week, and on the Guilty as Charged podcast YouTube channel, do a show called Bolt Breakdowns over there. So if you want to find out my stuff, I'm sure we'll do a lot of coverage of the Ravens game itself. If you want to come to the YouTube channel after the Ravens beat us and shit talk us, you can do that too. So you can find me on all platforms and on Twitter at AlexInsdorf99.
Ravens fans are usually pretty chill.
Yeah, you guys opponent. Are usually pretty chill compared to some of the other teams.
Yeah, there's some other teams out there who are pretty bodacious. The Bengals come to mind, but I think the Ravens will be pretty cool about it if they do get the job done. Well, thanks so much, Alex, for joining us. I appreciate it. You've been a welcome addition. Love to have your insight, and I appreciate you coming on. When we come back, we'll get our final thoughts on the game, and then we'll move ahead to what possibly could be a big showdown between two AFC teams. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was Alex Insdorf with the Chargers Wire, who talked all about the Chargers and their shortcomings on defense so far, but he did mention that they do have Justin Herbert, and he expects a shootout. We'll get to my thoughts in a little bit, but first we need to talk a little bit about what he mentioned pretty much, which is the Ravens' offense. The offensive line have had problems struggling a little bit with pass rushers, especially with Ronnie Stanley being injured. But with the loss of Mark Andrews, they really do have an opportunity to turn the focus a little bit. I know they have Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kolar, two big body tight ends who can they can catch the ball. Big target for Lamar Jackson to work with. But I think this is the chance where the Ravens will shift over to the wide receivers. Now, you mentioned he was nervous about the Ravens wide receivers and how they match up with the DBs of the Chargers, and I agree. Odell Beckham has really come into his own. Zay Flowers hasn't reached the end zone pretty much, but that's just luck. I mean, he's really been the focal point for defenses to cover, and I think he's going to be more so now that Mark Andrews is out. And Rashad Bateman, keep on leaving one guy on him. He's the best route runner on the team. So do with that what you will. But the last couple of weeks, the attention is kind of focused on Odell Beckham. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit before we close the show, because Odell Beckham may be, now check the tape. I know there's a lot of Raven fan analytics guys out there who likes to decipher the numbers, and a lot of guys who like to look at film study, the all 22. Look at Odell Beckham and when he's been able to produce. It's been when he's switched roles to Zay Flowers, meaning he's the slot guy. He's the guy moving around, really forcing the defense to make last-minute adjustments to account for him. Or when he's asked him to be moved up the middle to really take over the role of Mark Andrews. Those big plays last week were when Zay Flowers are either being spelled out or when they had something going on with Odell Beckham moving in motion. Look at the numbers. Look at the tape. I'm telling you. So I think Odell Beckham's lack of success early on may have had a lot more to do with the fact that the Ravens are really keying in on getting Zay Flowers involved. If Zay Flowers isn't out there, that role moves over to Odell Beckham. I'm telling you. Just keep an eye on it. Now, because of that, Odell really didn't get a chance to shine, except if it was his birthday or if Zay Flowers is hurting or tired or what have you. Now that Mark Andrews is out, this is when they're going to implement more Odell Beckham. I think they're going to scheme more plays around Odell Beckham and then really have Zay Flowers do what he's been doing. So I think those two guys, you're going to see a lot more of. So if you're a fantasy guy, I'm telling you, get Odell Beckham. I'm sure Zay Flowers is gone, but Odell Beckham Jr. is really available in these fantasy football leagues. So that's my little fantasy spiel. It's just something I've been watching in film. Odell Beckham has really been the yin and yang to Zay Flowers. And now that Mark Andrews is gone, this is going to be the Ravens' chance. I believe Tom Buchan is going to really put something together to get Odell Beckham involved in space. He's really been a problem through the middle of the defense. Look at all of his plays, is him crossing the middle of the field. Not a lot of nine routes, not a lot of out routes. It's really just him taking advantage of the zone that the defense has been giving him, because teams aren't running man against Lamar Jackson, you know? So expect more of that. I'm very, very excited to see what Odell Beckham will do in the second half of the season. He's really starting to pop on film. So is Rashad Bateman. Not so much Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers is really, you know, the physicality of the league is really starting to get to him. He's still making plays. He's still looking good out there, but I think the Ravens are going to be a little cautious with him. He's a smaller guy towards the end of the season. And you're going to see guys like Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman really start to shine. So that's my prediction for the rest of the season. Let's talk about this game, because he made a great point. The Chargers defense isn't really good at stopping the pass. They're in the bottom. And I mentioned that the Ravens like to run the football, and that's their MO. You know, they're a running football team. We know that. So what do I expect? Do I expect another blowout? No, I don't. I don't expect a blowout. I do expect a pretty decisive win. I don't think it's going to be a shootout the way he thinks it's going to be. I do think it's going to be a decisive win for the Ravens. My only concern with the Chargers defense are those pass rushers you mentioned, headlined by Khalil Mack. The Ravens haven't had much success stopping premier pass rushers. We don't really know the status of Ronnie Stanley as of this recording, but something tells me he's not going to play. He didn't really practice last week. I don't expect him to practice this week. Marlon Humphrey, John Harbaugh did say that there's a chance he could play. I don't think so. I think you hold him off for another week. Wait until, you know, this is the only game within the span of 23 days that the Ravens will play. So this is a good chance to get healthy. I just don't think that the Ravens are going to blow out the Chargers. I think there's things that the Ravens can do to be successful, but I think we're going to give Justin Herbert a little bit of credit. I expect it to be kind of like the way it was going with the Bengals game during the first meeting, as far as what the offense of the Chargers will be able to do. But I do think the Ravens will be good enough to pick up the win, maybe a 10-point win. I'll say 31-21 victory for the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. I want to wish you guys a happy holidays. The Ravens are 8-3. When we come back, the Ravens may be 9-3. And then we'll be talking about how the Ravens can make a push for that home field advantage throughout the playoffs as the regular season winds down. But I hope you guys have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy time with your family. Enjoy the games. Lots and lots of good games coming out this Sunday. headlined by a pivotal matchup between the Ravens and the Chargers. We'll see what happens next week. Will the Ravens pick up the win? I think so. If they don't, we'll talk all about it on the Ravens Talk Podcast. You guys have a good and safe Thanksgiving.